Title of my sermon this morning is Without Our Dogs. Without our dogs. The Bible says in verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And when we see the term dogs in the New Testament, it's clear that we're not referring to the literal animal, but we're referring to very wicked people that are being characterized as dogs. Why is it that God would choose to call very wicked, ungodly people dogs? Well, this morning I'm going to go through some of the attributes that dogs have and explain to you why that's a perfect description for the people that God characterizes as dogs. First of all, it says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, and if you would, turn to Deuteronomy 23. Go back in your Bible to Deuteronomy 23. The Bible says in Philippians 3, 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. So in Revelation 22, it says that dogs are going to hell. In Philippians chapter 3, it tells us to beware of dogs. Who are these people? Who are these dogs? Look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 23, verse 17. The Bible says, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God. So in verse 17, we have the whore mentioned, and then we have the sodomite mentioned. And then in verse 18, we have the whore mentioned, and then we have the dog mentioned. Why? Because the dog is equivalent to the sodomite. That's why the Bible is using them interchangeably there. So the type of person that is specifically referred to as a dog in the Bible back in Deuteronomy is a sodomite. Why would God refer to these wicked doers as dogs? Well, number one attribute of a dog that we'll see, and if you would turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, is that number one, dogs are unclean and unsanitary. That is what a dog is like. They're unclean and unsanitary. While you turn there, I'll read for you from Proverbs 26, 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. So a dog is one that would even eat his own vomit, according to the Bible. It says in Exodus chapter 22, verse 31, and ye shall be holy men unto me, neither shall you eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field, you shall cast it to the dogs. So the dog is known as one that would just eat anything, any garbage, anything that's not fit for human consumption. He says, let dogs eat that, not a human being. He says in Matthew 7, verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. They are known as the consumers of that which is disgusting and unclean, not something that is good or nutritious and wholesome. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So over and over again, the dog is related to being dirty, unclean, and unsanitary. And by the way, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible doesn't have anything good to say about dogs. It takes a negative view of dogs, and it uses them as an illustration for bad people. Although dogs do have a function, sometimes the Bible does talk about dogs serving a function of being a watchdog or of herding animals. They could be used to herd sheep, for example, but they are an unclean beast. Now, why would God call the sodomites dogs? I don't know. I don't get it. I'll tell you why. Because that which they do is disgusting and unsanitary today. It's a perfect description. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that men with men have been given over to vile affections. Vile affections. Now, if we're to get the context of 2 Peter chapter 2, we understand that this is a chapter about false prophets, infiltrators, and reprobates who would creep into the church. Chapter 2, verse 22 is the coup de grace, the final word, the final insult that says, these are like a dog that returns to his own vomit. But that verse often just taken out of its context. The context is the whole chapter. Who are we talking about in this chapter? Well, let's back up a little bit in the chapter. Look at verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom, that's not a coincidence that the dog and Sodom are once again put together. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. And let me tell you something. When that verse is being written, that's a couple thousand years after Sodom and Gomorrah. And a couple thousand years later in the New Testament, when 2 Peter is being penned, he says that Sodom and Gomorrah is an example to those who would afterward live ungodly and follow that wicked lifestyle. He says, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So the lifestyle of the people living in Sodom was described as filthy conversation, unclean, unsanitary, dirty. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Anderson? What's a sodomite? A sodomite is a fag. Yeah. It's a homo. It's it's a lesbian. It's someone who perverts nature. It's what today is known as the LGBT. Right. That's what the euphemism that they use. For me, the only thing LGBT stands for is let God burn them. Amen. Why? Because they're like Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's an example to those that live ungodly. And if it was an example thousands of years later in the New Testament, in 2017, that is still the example today of what God thinks about that sin. Right. And I'm tired of pastors who sugarcoat it. I'm tired of churches that sugarcoat it. They need to get up and preach about Sodom. Amen. They don't want to talk about it. They gloss it over. They'll preach on homosexuality without even talking about Sodom. It's insane. We're living in strange times. You say, oh, this is, get out of here, you little limp-wristed pansy. This is a Baptist church. Buckle up, buttercup. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 that Sodom and Gomorrah is the example. Look at chapter 2, verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Look at it, they're unable to cease. Why? They're reprobate. Beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children. Flip over to the book of Jude. Just a few pages to the right in your Bible, the book of Jude, second to last book in the Bible, right before Revelation. For those of you who don't know, 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude are what's called parallel passages, meaning that they cover the same information even in pretty much the same order. So you can put these two passages side by side and compare them and compare Scripture with Scripture and learn something. It's almost like comparing Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to learn something. You can put 2 Peter chapter 2 side by side with the book of Jude. And in Jude verse 7, it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. What's a synonym for strange? Queer. Are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Now, there's a guy in our town here, and he's a dog himself, if you ask me, because these false prophets in 2 Peter chapter 2 that preach all these damnable heresies, they're also in that chapter as being dogs. You see, false prophets are often reprobates themselves. Not always, but most of the time, false prophets are reprobates. And that's why they're often secretly involved in perversion. Because the false prophet, the reprobate, they are one and the same most of the time in Scripture. Well, there's a guy in our town here, a false prophet. His name is, I believe his name is Jeff Durbin. And he pastored a church called the Apologia Church. I call it the Apostasia Church. But this false prophet, this wicked dog, this pervert, And he's right here in Tempe, Arizona. He just started up a nighttime TV show where he makes a mock at sin, where he tries to be funny and cool. And he's one of those beta males that's trying too hard to be cool and ends up just making an idiot of himself. But, you know, he's got the hipster beard going on. He's got the jeans with the holes in them. He's got the necklace. He's got his hair all gelled and all punked out and everything. He's real cool. He's got this TV show now where he says, yeah, we're going to push the envelope. We're going to be edgy. He makes jokes about sodomy. I'm talking about vile, disgusting, graphic jokes where he thinks that homosexuality is funny, and he makes jokes about specifically what they do. I'm not even going to give you a hint of it because it's so graphic, it's so filthy, it's so wicked. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says proving what is acceptable unto the Lord and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And this pervert, this dog, gets up, Durbin, I think his name Jeff Durbin, he gets up and has a show where he makes a mock at sin. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin.
Right, yeah.
And he gets up and thinks it's funny to laugh about and go into graphic detail about what these bunch of sodomites do. It's a shame even to talk about it, friend. We don't need to talk about that. You know what we need to say about the sodomites? What the Bible says. They're vile, they're wicked, they're filthy, they're disgusting. Stay away from them.
Right.
We don't need to sit there and laugh about it. Oh, it's so funny. There's nothing funny about that. It's gross. It's disgusting.
Amen.
It's wicked as hell.
Yeah.
Fools make a mock at sin. But this Jeff Durbin with his perverted TV show is poisoning people's minds, making jokes about this stuff. He ought to be getting up and preaching hard on sin. Go, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. False prophets are known as dogs in the Bible. Sodomites are known as dogs. Often they are the same person. And so that's one of the reasons why those two things are mentioned. They're not always the same person, but many times they are the same person. Oh, and by the way, Dr. James White, Mr. Anti-King James Onlyism, the guy who's always fighting against King James Onlyism, wrote a whole book against the King James Only movement. He participated in Durbin's filthy, perverted sodomite program.
Wow.
Disgusting. And you know what? Look, I'm not just up here being a prude or something. Hey, this stuff is sick. We should never talk about it, friend.
Right.
It's a shame to even speak of those things which are done to them in secret. And not only that, but even mainstream Christianity is condemning Jeff Durbin right now. Even the most liberal, watered-down news outlets are saying, this guy's going too far. This guy's over the top. This is disgusting. This is wicked. And his response, instead of saying, hey, sorry, guys, I went a little too far, his response is, I thought those jokes were really well-written. I thought that was a really well-written joke. I thought it was pretty funny, man. And he's like, we got to engage the culture, man. You know, these bunch of pastors who think they're so stinking cool, dressing like a teenager when they're like 40 years old. Hey, grow up!
Amen.
When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things.
Amen.
Why don't you dress like an adult, you clown?
Yeah. Amen.
Quit dressing like John Bon Jovi, and why don't you start dressing like a man of God? We've gone from John the Baptist to John Bon Jovi in the pulpit today. It's a joke. Grow up. Be a man. You clown. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. And I am profaned among them. He's saying, look, these people, they don't put a difference between holy and unholy. And I end up, this is what God's saying, I end up getting profaned. Profaned. You know what profane means? Dragged down into the gutter. Dragged down from a position of holiness and loftiness to that which is just in the gutter. And you have a Christian program that's claiming to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. And all it can do is make dirty jokes. I mean, it used to be that Christians were against dirty jokes. It used to be that the biggest sin that Christians were doing in regard to dirty jokes was just maybe listening to them and not condemning them and kind of giving a courtesy laugh and stuff. But now it's the Christian pastors who get on TV and make the dirty jokes so that their shame would be known unto the whole world. It's unbelievable today. Profaning the Lord Jesus Christ, profaning the office of the pastor, profaning the church, profaning everything that's righteous and holy. It's wicked. All in the name of, well, how are we going to reach the culture? Well, you know what? How's Faithful Word Baptist Church reaching the culture? Hey, look around. Here we are in a building packed with over 300 people. There's about 70,000 people subscribed to the YouTube channel. People are tuned in, listening to this preaching. Hey, it sounds like somebody is engaging somebody without having to make dirty jokes to do it. You know how you can engage the culture or reach people is by going door to door and preaching the gospel and winning souls to Christ. You get up and you preach the Bible and you go verse by verse and you teach God's word. You don't have to be a gimmick and a clown and a sideshow and a rock star to do it. You get up and preach. Amen. You go out and you go soul winning. You do what's right. But these people are a joke. They're not relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. They're relying on carnal, dirty, sinful jokes that aren't funny anyway to any person who is righteous, because most people are shocked and horrified by these things. They don't think they're funny. And if you are thinking that it's funny, you're watching way too much junk and your mind has been polluted. Clean up your act. It says that they've profaned. I'm profaned among them. Look at verse 27. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves. What's a wolf? What type of animal is that? A wolf's a dog, friend. And the Bible says that they are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. That's what these people are doing. They're out to, they're not soul winners, they're soul destroyers. They want to get dishonest gain. It's about being popular and getting money for filthy lucre's sake. They raven the prey, they're dogs. And her prophets have daubed, what's a prophet, a preacher, have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord had not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery. We're in Ezekiel 22, 29. And have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they've oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord. Now let me ask you something. How does that fit in with the stupid Calvinist doctrine of Jeff Durbin and James White? Can you explain that to me? God said he was looking for a man that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap, and he couldn't find him, so he destroyed them. According to Calvinism, oh, it's all God's plan, and he doesn't need anybody. He'll do it all himself, and yada, yada, yada. He doesn't rely on us at all. He doesn't need us. We're expendable. It's a garbage doctrine from the mind of perverts. Yeah. It's preached by literal perverts today. Zephaniah, go to Zephaniah chapter 3, if you can find it. Amen. Zephaniah chapter 3. It's at the very end of the Old Testament. Little tiny book in the Minor Prophets. Zephaniah chapter number 3. And the Bible says in verse 3 of Zephaniah 3, her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. So it's like a dog chewing on a bone, right? Her prophets, watch this. I love this verse. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They've done violence to the law. I love that word, light. And this isn't like the lights that shine from heaven. But the Bible talks about vain and light persons in the book of Judges. People that are vain and light. And here the Bible says that her prophets or her preachers are light. The preachers are light and treacherous persons. Treacherous because they are traitors to the cause of Christ. But they are light people. What does that mean that they're light? Well, what's the opposite of light? Let's think of some opposites of light. First of all, around here, we like a thing called hard preaching.
Right.
What's the opposite of hard preaching? Light preaching. Light duty. But the main meaning of the word light has to do with how much something weighs. Right? The opposite of light is heavy. And we're not talking about in a physical sense of standing on a scale, but what we're talking about is gravity, grave. The Bible talks about how preachers are supposed to be grave. And we probably heard the term gravitas. And grave or gravitas has to do with having some weight behind who you are. You're not just this light person. I thought of this word as I was kind of just thinking about what's the best way to explain what this means. I thought of the word gimmick. A gimmick. I mean, that's the best way. When you look at these preachers, the Durbins of this world, I mean, the word that comes to mind, it's like describe him in one word. A gimmick. He's a gimmick. It's just light is that which is cheap. It's that with no substance. It's that with no gravity. There's nothing there.
Right.
It's like a cheap, think about this, light reading. What does it mean if you're doing light reading? You are reading that which is just unintelligent. You're looking for cheap entertainment. If I said, hey, I want some light reading, it means I'm just looking to be cheaply entertained. And that's what people do when they go to these light churches and light preaching and they just want to be entertained today. That's what they want. Instead of actually learning some meat and potatoes from the Bible, instead of coming to church and having their spiritual plate loaded up with a big piece of beef and a bunch of potatoes and gravy and vegetables and a big glass of milk, instead, they're given just some light cream puff, devoid of nutrition, just calories, empty calories, right? There's no substance there. There's no nutrition there. There's no vitamins. There's no protein. It's just light. Light pastors, gimmicks. They're not grave. There's no worthwhile content. They are vain and light persons. But let's move on to point number two. Amen. That was point one. Point number one about these dogs, number one, is that they're unclean and unsanitary. They're filthy, they're disgusting, they're vile. What's another attribute of dogs? Why they're such a great illustration of these false prophets or sodomites or homosexuals? Go, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 56. Number two, dogs are insatiable. Now, this is a difference between a dog and a cat. If you go out of town for a few days, you can put out some extra food for the cat, and the cat will eat until it's done, and then it will walk away. But if you overfeed the dog will just keep eating.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much food you put in the bowl. The dog keeps eating, keeps eating, keeps eating until it's sick and throws up. That's what dogs do, and then it'll eat the vomit.
Right.
That's what the Bible said. Yeah. See, dogs are insatiable. They can never get enough. They're greedy, right? And they just keep eating. Dogs can literally eat themselves to death. They will literally eat until they die. It's true. That's the difference between a dog and other pets. Isaiah 56, verse 9, the Bible says, all ye beasts of the field come to devour. Yea, all ye beasts in the forest, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are, watch this, greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. What's another word for a shepherd? A pastor. They cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I'll fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. And you know what? Every time I get around these Reformed churches, so-called Reformed Baptists or Reformed churches like this Apostasia Church or around other in that camp, it's always a beer church.
Yep. Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, we had some people who lived down the street from us that I was good friends with, and the church that they went to, we called it the beer church. They even called it the beer church, the kids. You know how kids say the darndest things, right, that their parents wouldn't want them saying? So the kids said, yeah, we go to the beer church. Because they always are into drinking at these churches. And you know what? This Durbin is a drunk.
Yep. Yeah.
He's a drunk.
Yeah.
Jeff Durbin's a drunk. His wife's a drunk. They're drunks.
Yeah.
Hey, drunks aren't even allowed to attend our church, let alone pastor it.
Yeah.
Bunch of drunks and alcoholics. posting on Facebook all their hard liquor. It's not even a beer church down there at Apostasia Church. It's a whiskey church. It's a hard liquor church. It's a shots at the house church. These greedy dogs, they're wicked, they're insatiable, they love wine, they love strong drink, they're drunks, they're wicked, they're dogs today. They can't get enough. You expect me to believe that some greedy dog is going to drink in moderation? No, because they're insatiable. And that's why it's hard liquor that they go to, not just beer. And I'm against beer, friend, but hard liquor is even more exceedingly sinful than beer. Anybody could tell you that. Go, if you would, to Revelation 22. They're insatiable, my friend. And you know what the Bible says about the homosexuals, the sodomites? You know what it says about them in that list of attributes in Romans 1? It says that they are implacable. Implacable. The homos today, the sodomites, are implacable. What does that mean? It means they can never be placated. They can never get enough. That's why when they get to the right to marry, that's not enough. You think that's enough? Like, well, let's just let them get married and then that'll be enough. No, they want to get married and they want to adopt children. And then that's not enough. They want their filthy death style to be taught in elementary school. And teaching it to the second grader is not enough because they're implacable. They'll get it into first grade. And first grade's not going to be enough because they're implacable. They want it in kindergarten. Well, let's just compromise. You can't compromise with them. They'll never be satisfied. They'll never be pleased. We just want to be in the military so we can die for our country. Good, I want you all to die for my country too. Let's put you on the front lines and use you as cannon fodder.
Amen.
Let's send you on the most dangerous mission. Send in a special battalion of pure homos and just send them into the hottest part of the battle and just abort the mission, withdraw the troops. I'm for it. You say, Pastor Harrison, can you believe that they let gays in the military? I wish they'd put them all in the military in a special battalion and send them over to North Korea and just say, all right, guys, here's a squirt gun. Run across the DMZ and go take on Kim Jong-il or Un or whatever. Kim Jong, whatever his name is. His name starts with a Kim Jong, right? All right. I'm for it. But see, getting the homos in the military isn't enough. Now they want the cross-dressers in the military, the drag queens, the trannies, the transgender. You know, I think Trump banned them, didn't he, a few weeks ago? And then they flipped out. And then they showed a picture of a bunch of coffins with American flags over. Which one of these is transgender, Donald Trump? And I'm thinking, all of them, hopefully. See, that's my kind of humor about sodomites. I don't talk about what they do because it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done to them in secret. Hey, I'm not going to make a mock at sin. You know what I'm going to make a mock of is the stupidity of our government, the stupidity of our churches, the stupidity of people that think that you can placate these people when the Bible said they're implacable.
Right.
Keep your dirty jokes to yourself. Amen. I'm offended by you. Hey, you know what? My jokes are biblically sound.
Amen.
The Bible said they can never have enough. They're implacable. They're insatiable. That's why they're a dog. You say, why would God call sodomites dogs? Well, because number one, they're unclean and unsanitary animals. The Bible's clear on that. Number two, they're insatiable. They can never have enough. But number three, they're cowards. Dogs are cowards. Now, I know I'm probably offending a lot of dog lovers this morning, but I'm a Bible preacher. I'm not a representative of the PETA or the Humane Society or anything like that this morning. I'm speaking in capacity as a Bible preacher. And I used to have a dog when I was a kid that I really liked. It was a Boston Terrier. That was my favorite breed, okay? I'm not against you if you love dogs, but I'm here to tell you that dogs are cowards. They are cowardly animals, whether you like it or not. They're cowards. You see, we go soul winning on a lot of Indian reservations, and anybody who spent any time on any reservation knows about the res dogs, right? I mean, the res dogs, they're everywhere. My favorite res dog encounter was we were down on the Tohoto O'odham Nation, and we were standing in front of a grocery store of Basha, and we're standing there just talking. We were waiting for some people. These three dogs walk up. They walk up to the grocery store. The automatic doors open. The three dogs walk into the grocery store, and the doors close behind them just as natural as rain. Like it was just the most normal thing in the world. Like they just do it every day. Just these three dogs, just dum 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 dum, and they just walked right in. And then we all looked at each other like, what just happened? You know. So when you're on the reservation, there's a lot of dogs everywhere. A lot of dogs. And most of the dogs are harmless on the reservation. It's a good thing because most of them aren't on a leash. So thankfully, the vast majority of the dogs on the reservation are pretty harmless. Rarely you'll run into that dog that growls and shows his teeth and looks like he actually means business. But the vast majority of the dogs on the reservation are pretty tame. They're pretty harmless. They're pretty used to being around people and just interacting and doing whatever it is they do all day. But what I've noticed is that even the weakest, most domesticated, most tame dog will follow this pattern. And I just saw this in the last week on the Apache Reservation, Navajo Reservation, is that you walk up to the door and sometimes you'll kind of catch the dog off guard because it's just kind of sleeping in the sun. And it's an old, tired dog, or it's not a very formidable opponent. You're not really afraid of it. Okay. So you go up and you know, it kind of catches you off guard, just kind of looks at you and it kind of looks all sad, like, so you want to pet me or what's going, you know. And you know, you just kind of bypass it and you go knock on the door to do the soul winning, right? Well, then when you're finished, whether the person's home, not home, almost without variation, as you're walking away with your back to it, what does the dog do? After you're already leaving. After you're leaving, you're walking away, then it gets all tough. And yeah, you better run, buddy. You better walk away. This is my house. This is my turf. And look, there are some people like that too, amen? And so these dogs, they put up a big show, but it's all just fluff. They're cowards. Or even if they look all serious, if you just come right at them, then what do? They back off. But as soon as you turn your back, they'll bite you. Even a tiny little dog will bite you if you turn around. That's why you never run away from a dog. You run away from a dog, it's going to chase you. If you walk away from a dog, it'll sometimes bite you from behind. So the best way is to back away. If there's a vicious dog, you know, you back away slowly. And I usually just kind of swing something at it if it tries to attack me. Even if it's not a good weapon, because it'll just scare it. You know, even if it's just my Bible or something, I'll just swing it and it'll just kind of recoil. But dogs are cowards. That's what they do. They love to bite you in the back. They only will really attack you if there's only one person. You know, if you're with someone else, they won't attack you. It's when you're by yourself. Every time I've been bitten or attacked by dogs, I was by myself. When you're with someone else, they won't. And then usually they get in a group and try to surround you and work together as a pack to attack you. But they won't face you head on. They won't face you one-on-one. They're a cowardly creature. And that's how these sodomites are too. They are notorious amongst the law enforcement community for writing anonymous threat letters. And so, because they don't like us, we get a lot of anonymous threat letters because they're known to be, often anonymous threat letters disproportionately come from sodomites. You could talk to law enforcement professionals who investigate this kind of stuff and they'll tell you that. And so, they're always attacking our church in an underhanded way. They sign us up for all these magazines we didn't order. They order pizzas that we didn't order. They send us weird, threatening things in the mail. They send us disgusting things in the mail, perverted things in the mail, unsanitary things in the mail. And it's always anonymous. It's always just from an alias or from a bogus address or something like that. They're cowards. You know, they'll come in a big group and protest and carry on at a great rate, but they don't. They're really a cowardly creature. They're like unto a dog. And they love to go after you when you're alone. And this is why we need more preachers to stand up and get some hair on their legs and preach the sermon that I'm preaching this morning or something similar. Because if we would all stand up and thunder forth against this sin, they'd go up. But they're so bold because they're in a big pack and us Bible-believing preachers are all by ourselves. You know, trying to speak out against this stuff, and then we get attacked. So be it. Bring it on. But the Bible says in Revelation 22, this is interesting. I noticed this morning. This is a pretty familiar verse, but You know, you're constantly noticing new things in the Bible, amen, no matter how many times you've read it. The Bible says in Revelation 22:15, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Now, I want you to turn to the more famous verse in Revelation 21:8, but keep your finger in 22, verse 15. You go to Revelation 21:8. You probably don't even need a finger there because it's probably just the other page. But I want you to notice something, okay? I'm going to go. Does anybody have a pen? Put up your hand if you have a pen or a pencil on you. Pull it out if you want to and mark these off as I read them to you. So you look at Revelation 21:8. And as I read these words, I want you to underline that word that you find in Revelation 21:8. Because I want to show you which words are the same and which words are different, okay? So you're in Revelation 21:8. And I'm going to read for you 22:15. It says, "For without are dogs and sorcerers." Go ahead and underline the word sorcerer. "And whoremongers." Go ahead and underline the word whoremonger. "And murderers." Go ahead and underline the word murderers. "And idolaters." Underline idolaters. "Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Go ahead and underline all liars. So those are the words that both verses use in the list, right? They both mention sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and liars. So what's left that's not underlined? What's left? What's left in Revelation 21:8? Fearful, unbelieving, and what? And abominable. So dogs in chapter 22 is replaced with, in chapter 21, three words take that spot for that attribute: fearful, unbelieving, and abominable. And this is a perfect description of the dogs. The dogs that the Bible refers to are all unbelievers. Sodomites, false prophets, they're damned. They're unbelievers. Number two, they're fearful. And number three, this goes without saying, they're abominable. Meaning that they commit abominations. That's what God calls what they commit, the sin they commit in Sodom and Gomorrah. He called it abomination. He said in Ezekiel, "They committed abomination before me." He said, "If a man lie with a man, it's an abomination."
Right.
Right? So what do we have? Unbelieving, fearful, and abominable. Why? Because they're like dogs in that they're cowards. Dogs are cowards, and the spiritual dogs are cowards as well. You know, if you talk to someone who's an insurance agent, you know what they tell you? They love having the homos as a customer because they can sell the homo any kind of insurance because the homo just lives in constant, continual fear. He will buy insurance upon his insurance. I've had somebody in the insurance industry tell me, "Oh man, these homos, they can't get enough insurance. They're afraid of everything. They're scared of everything." Why? Because they know that they're doomed. They know that they're damned. They know that they're under the curse of God. And so they're in constant fear of death. They're in constant fear of bodily harm. They're in constant fear of losing their possessions, because that's all they have. They have nothing spiritually. They are cowards. They are fearful. But the what? The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable. This is pointing to the dogs. But lastly, this, number four, they are predators. What are dogs like? Dogs are unclean and unsanitary. What are dogs like? Dogs are insatiable. They'll eat dog food until they die. That's why you have to give them the right amount of dog food. Number three, they're cowards. That's why they'll bite you from behind. That's why they'll attack you from the back. That's why they'll bark at you when you're already leaving. And then if you turn around and be like, "What was that, buddy?" Then all of a sudden they're like, "Ah, ah." We need some men of God to stand up and pick, you know, and pull out the club of God's word and start preaching. You know what? They'll send these dogs running back into the doghouse so fast with their tail between their legs. They're cowards. Why are we, the Christians in America, there's way more born again, saved children of God in this country than there are sodomites. Why are we afraid of them? It's just, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, "Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Fear not. But number four, they're predators. And these people, whether they're false prophets or sodomites or homosexuals, queers, fags, whatever you want to call them, they are predators. They're not reproducers. They're recruiters. And they recruit children. They recruit young people. Now, let me read you something that I found online about dogs in general. I just did a quick search about dogs, how they operate, how wolves hunt in the wild, and so forth. Here's what I found. And listen carefully. This is just something I found online. Wolves are opportunists. And this was on a website that loves wolves. So this is a positive thing. Wolves are opportunists. They test their prey, sensing any weakness or vulnerability through visual cues and even through hearing and scent. Contrary to ambush, you know, they can smell fear, right? Contrary to ambush predators that rely on the element of surprise and a short and intense burst of energy to secure their prey, wolves are endurance predators. They chase their prey often over long distances, sometimes even a few miles, in order to find the right animal or the right opportunity. Most often, the prey they select is in some way weaker and or more vulnerable than the other animals in the herd. They may be injured, sick, old, very young, or genetically inferior. But even healthier animals can at times find themselves in a vulnerable position. Over time, this process allows the most capable prey animals to survive and pass on their genes, and it helps limit the spread of diseases within the herd. So we see that wolves, they do it slowly over time. That's what we've seen with false prophets. That's what we see with people infiltrate the church. They don't just come into the church the first Sunday and start teaching a bunch of weird doctrine. They're willing to just jog along for miles and look for that opportunity, kind of checking out the herd, you know, looking for the ones that are a little weaker, looking for the ones that they might devour. The Bible says the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And his minions are the same way. They'll creep into churches, they'll eat and drink with us, they'll talk the talk, they'll seemingly walk the walk, but they're there and they're a wolf in sheep's clothing. What's a wolf? A dog. They come in, they creep in, and they're sizing up the flock, they talk to people, they test them out, they find that one that they can devour. And even the strong could sometimes be vulnerable if they put themselves in the wrong position, which is why the Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. This fits in perfectly with what the Bible says about these dogs. They're looking for that vulnerable one. They're willing to take years. And look, the Sodomites have had an agenda for decades to destroy our nation, and they've slowly deployed it over the course of decades. Now it's kind of entering the final stages, so it's ramping up. Now the wolf is just going for the jugular. But it was a slow build-up to this, a slow, persistent hunt of just keep on pushing it in the media a little bit. And by the way, how did it start in the secular media? With humor. Back in the days when sodomy was unthinkable in our society, what did they do? They still came out with black and white movies. What was that movie called? Some Like It Hot? The whole movie's a bunch of dudes in drag. But it's like, oh, it's just funny. Yeah, but what does that lead to? You get desensitized. They keep joking about it. Now we got a Christian TV show here out of Tempe that's trying to do the same thing to the Christians. Sick. The Bible says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. What's that mean? Inwardly they're dogs. Yeah. They're ravening wolves. Behold, Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Jesus said in Luke 10:3, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Jesus warned us, the sheep of his flock, of the wolves that are out there that would seek to devour us. Now, one thing that I thought was interesting as I read this was that it said, over time, this is what I just read you from the internet, remember? Over time, this process allows the most capable prey animals to survive and pass on their genes. And it helps to limit the spread of diseases within the herd. So basically, this website was trying to look on the bright side of, okay, well, the wolf comes in and tears up some of the herd. But because it tears up the sick, the weak, the whatever, it ends up creating a stronger herd in the end. Well, you know what? That's exactly what we see in Faith Forward Baptist Church. You know why we have such a strong herd here? And don't be offended by the word herd. We're all part of a flock.
Right?
Right? We're the sheep of Christ's pasture. He's the great shepherd. We're his sheep, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you're just a sheep. Yeah, I'm a sheep and you're a goat.
Yeah.
Right? It's good to be a sheep, right? Bah. I'm a Baptist. So, you know, here's the thing. Why do we have a strong herd? I'll tell you why. Because from time to time, the wolves come in amongst our flock, and you know what? They devour the weakest, the people who are spiritually sick, spiritually messed up, right? The people that are, you know, just dumb, or the people who are, you know, wicked or whatever. There's something wrong with them. Now, sometimes they take some good people, and that's a tragedy, right? Because that even the strongest can sometimes be in the wrong place at the wrong time and be prey. But they actually clear out a lot of the idiots. And, you know, sometimes when we get persecuted and attacked and when we have infiltrators and false prophets, and big controversies and stuff, sometimes it's hard for me to get depressed about the fact that the weak leave. And our church keeps just getting stronger. Because the people who make it through the battles are just stronger and stronger and stronger. And you know what? I'm all for having some weak people in the church that we can try to strengthen them and help them. And we want to bring in the babes in Christ and the weak Christians and try to strengthen them and build them up. But you know what? If somebody just keeps coming here and they just keep being weak, keep being watered down, they're not getting it. You know what? And they get devoured by one of these wolves. You kind of just throw up your hands and just say, well, you know, it's just a stronger flock at the end of the day. This is a pretty strong flock. I remember last year there was a big controversy last summer because our friend Roger Jimenez preached a red-hot sermon against the sodomites, you know, in the wake of the Orlando thing. And he was on the news worldwide. I mean, it was a big deal. He had like literally 500 or 600 protesters show up at his church. And, of course, we backed him up. Amen? We're on the Lord's side.
Yeah.
Not on the side of those wicked people. So we were backing him up, and we had some anemic protests here because, you know, Arizona's not as given over to the sodomites as Sacramento is. But the thing about that is that we ended up exposing some people in our church that were pro-homo, but they were wicked in other areas. They'd been sowing all kinds of false doctrine and wickedness. And they ended up being thrown out of the church on a Sunday morning. If you remember, we threw that guy out of there on a Sunday morning because he is, you know, talking bad about Jimenez, teaching false doctrine, teaching lies. And then after we went back and figured out what his cowardly YouTube handle was because it was anonymous. Yep. Surprise. Coward. Right? So he had this anonymous YouTube where he's been talking trash about us since the day he got to our church. He'd been at our church for almost a year. He was talking trash about us from day one. So it's not like he came here and got disgruntled. He literally moved here just to come to our church and talk trash about us online with his anonymous YouTube account and saying like, oh, I go to this church and Pastor Anderson is such a child and he's so immature and he's this and that and blah, blah, blah. And oh, it's so annoying when he preaches this. It's annoying when he preaches. You know, this, and I remember just thinking, you know, the best thing that came out of this Orlando tragedy was getting rid of that idiot out of our church. I was like, what a blessing. The guy was a bozo. You know, so don't, you know, look, God said that the wheat and the tares, let them both grow together until the time of harvest.
Right.
And then he'll gather together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. And then he'll gather the wheat into his barn. You know, these wolves, as wicked as they are, as evil as they are, the devil as wicked he is, they all serve a purpose ultimately. Isn't that interesting? Even the devil serves a purpose. I preached a whole sermon about a year ago, I think, called The Purpose of the Devil. Why did God even create the devil? Why does God even allow the devil to even exist? And that's kind of interesting parallel with dogs. I'm going to go ahead and close down the sermon here. There's a lot more here. I mean, if you want to do some additional reading, here's the homework. Psalm 59 is a good passage with some more connections with the workers of iniquity. They're like dogs. They got pride. They're predators. It's all there in Psalm 59. But we'll just close in Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter number 20. Title of the sermon is Without Our Dogs. Who are these dogs? Well, we know we're not talking about physical dogs because God isn't really taking the time to damn a certain member of the animal kingdom. Right? You know, dogs are no more or less damned than mosquitoes or bees or cats or cows. They're just animals, right? They don't get saved. They don't reject the gospel. They're not damned. They're not saved. They're just animals, friend. They're not human. They're not people. They're not children.
Right.
Your dog didn't have children. It had puppies, all right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing about that is that, you know, we're not talking about physical dogs, right? We're talking about wicked people. When he's talking about people being excluded from heaven, excluded from the Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, we're not talking about animals, we're talking about human beings. When Paul told the Philippians, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, he's not telling them, hey, when you're out soul winning on the res, watch out for the dogs. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about people, right? We looked back in Deuteronomy and we saw that specifically the type of sin that comes up is sodomites. And then we also saw the four parallels between these wicked people that are condemned and physical dogs. Why are they even likened unto a dog in the first place? Well, number one, because they're unclean and unsanitary. Number two, it's because they're insatiable. They can never have enough. Number three, it's because they're cowards. Number four, it's because they're predators. It all rings true. Acts 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day with tears. You say, Pastor Anderson, why preach on this on a Sunday morning? Why didn't you preach on our best life now? Why not encourage us? Why not preach sweetness and light this morning? Well, because the Bible says that it's my job to take heed unto the flock. And the Apostle Paul told the pastors, he told the elders, the bishops, he said, I set the example for you by warning everyone night and day with tears for 3 years. Now, he was constantly warning people. Constantly warning them. About who? The wolves. Mm-hmm. He warned them about the wolves that are out there, and he warned them about the wolves that will even arise from our own midst. With tears, night and day, the warning. This sermon is a warning. Come back some other week, and you might show up on that week that's all sweetness and light. It happens. Yes, it does. Look at the, yes. This is a warning. And you know what? If you're smart, you'll take heed unto the warning and not let the world tell you, oh, he's harmless. He doesn't bite. Right? Famous last words. Oh, he's a friendly dog. He doesn't bite. My mom always taught me that if anybody asked, hey, does your dog bite, to just say yes every time. Because she said, you don't know what it's going to do. You don't know what's going to set it off. You don't want to say no, and then it bites somebody, and then, you know. I remember, because dogs, you never know what's going to set them off. We had a dog, it had never seen a black person. A black person walked in the house, it wanted to kill him. Just because it had just never seen a black person before, right? Somebody else might show up with a red shirt on, and it just, wah! You know, like a bull, right? The bull flips out about the color. You know, the phone rings, wah! You know. You don't really know what's going to set them off. Right? They're dangerous. You say, oh, not the sweet little sissy britches at my work. He's harmless. Yeah, but you know what? He's got rabies in him. You know, he's going to just snap and turn on you. He's a dog. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord, and we thank you for the warnings that you've given us, Lord. Lord, you said it's not grievous to speak the same things over and over again to warn us, but it's actually safe for us, according to Philippians 3. And so, Lord, thank you for warning us about these dogs, these wolves, whether those wolves be false prophets, whether they be sodomites themselves, whether they be just other predators, Lord, the devil. Lord, help us to keep ourselves on guard at all times, Lord. Help me as the pastor to guard the flock, to protect the flock, and to try to keep the wolf away from the door, Lord. And help all of us to be in our Bibles every day, reading and praying that we don't enter into temptation and that we don't let the devil get us off into sin, whether that sin be drunkenness, gambling, drugs, adultery, fornication, whatever. Lord, help us to be kept away from the wiles of the devil. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.